Welcome to Perfectly Sane Show, episode 465. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I have nothing. I was going to say something funny, but it wasn't that funny. I give up. Not funny anymore.
Fair enough. Jeff is here.
Now I feel like I can't say anything.
Try harder, Jeff.
I was just going to say something lame. I was like, well, then that won't be funny. And then like he just like set the bar for like you have to say something funny.
But he didn't say anything funny.
Yeah.
You know what, Jeff?
No, but he set the bar.
That's what I'm getting from you. You are a bed bug.
He set the bar.
That bed bug story kept getting better. Like, at least for another day or two, it kept getting better.
Earl is here as well.
And I got nothing. Yeah.
Earl is not a bed bug.
He is not a bed bug. He is a human being, cold blooded.
If you're cold blooded, you are probably not.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I didn't do good in anatomy, but I'm pretty sure humans are warm-blooded, so...
There's no proof to that.
So alien is a... Earl is an alien. Maybe a lizard man.
Never know.
You don't. Like, they can shift. They can, like, shape-shift and take on the form of humans. Or yes, so I hear.
It could be like invasion of the body snatchers.
Yeah. Be like a cold-blooded lizard person that can take on the form of humans. Exactly. All right. With that said, let's. What have you guys been playing? Is there anything new?
What have we been playing?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a lot, everything. Actually.
Everything.
I guess.
It was the unofficial start of the fall onslaught.
August 30th, there was a bunch of stuff that kind of hit. Earl, you played two games that came out on the 30th.
Yes.
Which one do you want to talk about first?
I think I assume, yes, if you have played Man of Medina and Danin.
I just purchased it today. Okay. I've not played it yet.
So yes, I'll start with that. The Dark Anthology Pictures, the Man of Medina, which is the next game from Supermassive, who is best known, of course, for the Until Dawn. I'm not gonna say. I guess franchise is a game and a DLC.
There's the game. And there's two VR games actually. There's the Carnival of Terror or whatever. I don't know. There's like some weird.
I don't remember the name of it, but I think it's Carnival of Blood. Maybe I don't know.
Okay.
But that game is awesome, dude. I think the game is underrated, yeah.
And then they did another VR game called Inpatient, which is evidently a prequel to Until Dawn. I did not play that either, because I do not have a VR set.
Yeah. So this does not involve VR. This is actually a multi-platform title. It's on the Xbox One as well as the PS4. And it follows in line of Until Dawn. It's a narrative-driven horror game. This one is more of a supernatural. You board a ship. That's, the mystery is, what's the ship? What's going on? People are kind of freaking out and seeing hallucinations and stuff like that. It's very Telltale-esque. You walk around interacting with different characters. As you talk to them, you make choices, and those choices have ramifications either in your dynamic and relationship with characters or in actions later on in the game. And those, again, depending on what you do, can change the outcome of the game. I've not beaten it yet because I'm actually playing through it with a friend because it has online co-op, which is one of the reasons I was actually interested in this one.
That's why
I was interested in it, because how it works essentially is it's essentially like if you were to watch a movie. Let's say you were to watch, I don't know, The Dark
Rambo
Knight.
2.
let's say I was Batman and then somebody else is a Joker. Essentially, you would see what the Joker's doing while Batman's doing other stuff. And then when the scenes cross over, then you're in the same scene together.
Okay.
So there are times where you are playing together. And then there are times when like you're playing the same game, but you might be in two completely different parts of the story.
That actually sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's actually really, it's a really nifty idea because, like, it's a horror movie, everybody spits out. So it's great sometimes to be like, you know, like hearing your friend freaking out and just like strolling through a ship or something like that. Or other times, like one of my favorite scenes early on, Minor Sporia, is there is a part where you spit and two people go on the on this under the water to check out a salvage ship, and then the rest of the people remain on the boat. So as you're doing the salvage ship and whatever, they get boarded by a bunch of pirates or something like that, and you just kind of all you hear it tangentially to your through your radio. And as you're swimming back up, like you can just you're under the water, you can just kind of see like the ship, like you can see something just like spark and explode or something like that. And your characters are freaking out because they don't know what's going on up there. And then you kind of get up there, and it's like, oh, we, you know, they tried to start a barbecue grill and it didn't work or something like that. So it's one of those things where, again, it's kind of nifty that you get to see a story from the different perspectives. And then my hope would be, because what I'm doing with my friend is we're going through the game and we're not really telling each other the decisions we made, so that when we play again, we'll reverse roles and see how that alters the outcome. And then we're paying notes. Because, like I said, you can have multiple endings. As far as I can tell, you can have everybody survive. Okay, I'm just going to say, because there's trophies. You can have everybody survive, you can have everybody die. You can have, you know, a mixture of the characters survive. You can have all your males survive. You can only have you can have all your females survive. So there's at least five or six different endings. And like Until Dawn had a psychologist who would kind of be the in between chapter dude,
right?
Who would kind of break down what you're doing. So this one has what they call a curator, who essentially is kind of giving you. This like I found this strange, a little weird, is that the curator is speaking to you as the player, not as a character, it feels like.
So he's almost like the creep show guy.
Yeah.
Like before the story start.
Yeah. So yeah, it's so weird because it like with Until Dawn, you were speaking to a character through you, which made sense. This one is like it's speaking to me, and I'm like, I get it, but it's also really weird because I feel like I shouldn't know that I'm playing this game.
Right.
But for the most part, it works. It's a multi-platform game, but they also don't have Sony's money. I think they're publishing this independently. And you can kind of tell there are parts of this game, especially in co-op, which are kind of needed to be ironed out. Like, for instance, even though you're playing two different, you know, you're playing two different scenarios at the same time or whatever. But that means if one character finishes their scenario or, you know, get through what they need to get through while you're playing yours, it will just cut to the cutscene in between that you're talking to somebody or you're doing something. It's like, okay, no cutscene because the story has to move on now. And I thought that was odd that they didn't bake in something for that. And then there are times for some strange reason where the game will go out of sync, so like the audio and them talking will not match. And it's not like I find other things annoying, but this would be like 3-4 seconds where it's really obvious that it's not even close to being synced up. So, yeah. But I mean, for $30, it's not awesome, but for $30, I'm having fun with it. I mean, it's a B-horror thing. It's very, the characters are very kind of not great. The voice acting isn't the best, but, you know, I kind of expect that from horror, so it fits the vibe for me. And I do enjoy the kind of mystery that's going on and trying to figure out what is actually happening to these characters. So hopefully I will get to finish that up this weekend.
Nice. It is published by Bandai Namco.
Okay.
But I don't know how much of development money came from them, so. I am interested in playing it. I enjoy it a lot. So I'm not expecting the same level.
I would also imagine, and part of the reason I didn't want to buy it, but I mentioned last week I ended up getting my friend the copy that I couldn't cancel, so I figured I'd buy it anyhow, is that I feel like it's one of those games that's going to be like $10-15 come Black Friday.
That's a possibility. Well, sticking with games that came out on August 30th, Jeff and I played a horror game. Both of us played through a horror game, and I think we came away with very different very different opinions of it. We both played Blair Witch.
Yeah.
And Jeff hated it.
Yeah. It was easily the worst game I've played all year, probably of the last couple years, honestly. I thought it was terrible. Wow.
So there's some things I agree with Jeff on in terms of this, but I guess to set what this is, it's a game set in the Blair Witch universe.
There's a Blair Witch universe.
There is now, strangely enough.
I mean, there was before. Like this is the fourth video game in the Blair Witch.
Terrifying.
Fourth video game.
Yeah, so there were three video games that came out on PC back in like the early 2000s.
Holy shit!
That were there's like a weird relation to another game, Nocturne. They were made by the same people, but yeah, this is another game. But there's no actual, doesn't seem to be any tie to those old games, and it's completely different type of game. It is basically a walking sim, right? It's would you say that that's accurate, Jeff?
Or, yeah, it's a first person narrative driven
adventure game thing. Where mostly what you're doing is walking. It is a premise, I guess, is that you are this cop who has some issues. And there's a missing kid, and you go out with your partner, this dog Bullet, to find this kid, and it slowly reveals like why this guy is fucked up, maybe not in the best way, but that like there's you get some of that information there as you slowly track down this kid. And ultimately, you end up in the Blair Witch house, like the house from the original movie. And I think is it in the most recent Blair Witch movie, Jeff?
They end up somewhere at the end. I want to say maybe they end up in like the sawmill, or maybe no. Maybe it was like the Blair Witch's house or something. I don't know, dude. It's they're in a house at the end of that new one. I actually. After playing this, I wanted to rewatch the new one to see if, like, because I thought that was pretty bad too. I'm like, maybe that's it'll seem better after this. Like, wasn't available for free on anything, and I'm not paying to watch it. So,
probably, I forgot probably, there was a second one, or
maybe. There was a second one. Yeah. It was and really it, weird.
Yeah, what the second movie, A Book of Shadows?
Yeah,
which is a normal movie.
Yeah, like not a found footage type thing.
No, it's yeah. Like there's like a cast and it's weird.
It passes itself off, I think, if I remember correctly, like a documentary in that like they're like, I mean, no, maybe I'm wrong about that. No, I think it is just really more traditional, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, well, I think like they tie it in, like the people in that film are, they're there, like they're filming stuff because they're trying to figure out what happened to the people from the original movie. I don't, it's so dumb.
I have never revisited that one.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. It's bad. Anyway, so like this happens to be in the Black Hills Forest or whatever the forest in Black Hills Forest in Maryland, which is where all the shit in Blair Witch stuff takes place.
The universe. And,
that guy starts to slowly like go more and more crazy and weird shit happens and Blair Witchy stuff shows up. and it's, I don't know. There are issues with it. Like I think it controls poorly. It is very much designed. It looks like somebody took a PC game, that would be fine. Like mouse and keyboard, but then tried to like overlay a control scheme to it.
It's such a weird control scheme too. Use the right trigger to do actions. Yeah, why is it not on the face button? I don't.
It's like somebody that doesn't know how to use a controller set up the controller. It's like there's weird choices for it. And it's such a small margin of like, okay, I need to get over this. And it's like, you have to be like right over it. And precision with a controller, not always the best. So,
well, and I mean, I guess at least it doesn't really matter because this is one of those fucking games that is like not really a game. Like, sort of at points it is, but mostly it's just like you fucking wander around until the next scripted fucking thing happens.
And there's definitely a point in the game where all you do is wander in a circle.
Dude.
It is the worst aspect of anything I played this year.
Like there is a 15-minute sequence. I mean, I'm not sure exactly which part. Yeah, I think...
You're walking with the dog. Like, you're carrying the dog.
Okay, yeah. That's what I was thinking of. And then, like... You're like carrying this wounded dog, so like it's like a, like the dog's like whining, like he's hurt, like injured, and you're walking through like you're walking like straight down a path.
Yep, it's like through a ravine,
and the path just loops and loops, and like it loops like 10 fucking times. You're just
it's even. I think it's longer than that. Like I swear to God, the thing took like 15 minutes to get through.
You're like we're not exaggerating or anything. Like you're carrying a dog down a path. And that's all you do is keep walking forward.
Jeff, did you carry it till Ellis collapsed?
Yeah, that's the only thing that you could do.
No, you can put the dog down.
Oh, really?
You can put the dog down. That would end the torture. I also walked through, but it's 15 minutes of walking. And, like, the game is basically telling you, like, just leave the fucking dog behind.
I literally, like looked it up at some point. I'm like, am I doing the wrong thing here? Am I supposed to walk back the other way? Like, I looked it up and it's just like, yeah. You know, it just says keep walking and you'll eventually collapse. I'm like, God, this game is fucking trash. And I was like, this is near the end of the game. Or you can put the dog down. Huh?
Or you can put the dog down. Like,
I guess, great. Wonderful, wonderful design there. Cool.
Well, and what it's like, so at the beginning of the game, like, it tells you, hey, you have this dog and you want to be nice to the dog because... Your survival kind of relies on the relationship that you have with this dog. So you can pet the dog, you can give the dog treats. And so, like, you know, you don't want to leave your dog behind in a ravine after it's been hurt. So, like, I don't want to put him down. So I walked through this entire thing. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So, Jeff, you hated everything about this.
Here's what I liked. I liked the atmosphere of being in the woods. You know, like, I dig that. Even outside of Blair Witch, I just dig, like, you know, hey, you're hanging out in the creepy woods at night, like, type thing. And, you know, it being Blair Witch on top of it kind of added something to it for me because I'm super into at least the original Blair Witch. Like, I love that movie. And, you know, there was, like, one part that was kind of okay. I'm being honest. There's one part where it was, like, you're like messing with this mine cart and you're like going and doing stuff in these camps. Like there's like actual puzzles and gameplay to it. Everything else, dude, I thought was so bad. Like,
so that there are puzzles in the game. You find early on, you'll find this video camera and you find tapes along the way and you put the tapes in and you can play it and it gives you a glimpse of like something that has happened to either like the little boy you're trying to find or somebody else. But it's like a magic tape recorder. And by rewinding it to certain points, you can like make shit appear or disappear or shift in the real world or wherever you're at right now. So like you're trying to like figure out like, all right, like, the first one is like if you rewind it to the point where this little kid's police car, the sirens are going off, the car will appear. And that's a clue that you can then give to your dog who can then search and like carry you on to the next thing. Some of them get a little more complex where it's like, all right, you have to do this to open the door. Which gives you something that like gives you another clue. Then you go get a piece to add to, it's like this thing to remove like a log from there, and you have to rewind it so that it, you know, it starts the fire in the furnace. And I think they do get a little more complex than just like rewind it to pick up the baseball or the.
It's that was the one I was stumped out of forever because I was like
the baseball
because I kept walking up to the bunker and there's like some collapsed trees around the bunker and like in that same videotape they show a tree falling, so I kept rewinding the tape and looking at like the bunker. I'm like, why won't the trees go away? Or, like, I don't know, like, what am I supposed to do here? And I just wandered around the entire level, like, you know, you think it's, like, this open woods, but it's kind of, like, just this big level that I just, like, I wandered around for, like, an hour going, like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Because you're supposed to rewind to, like, before the kid picks up this thing off the ground and then, like, look at the ground. But if you don't look at the ground, I don't know, dude. Like,
I think it telegraphs it pretty well. Like, it's
no,
like,
I think it's so vague. It's well, once you look, once I figured out, like, okay, everything is going to be this one puzzle mechanic done over and over. It was always super easy. It was like,
hey, they're never hard.
I was like, you come to a door, the door's locked. Oh yeah, that tape I just found. Rewind to the part in tape where the dude opens the door, and then when you put the video camera down, all of a sudden the door's open now. It's like,
oh, you can tilt yourself and like see the shit appear, so like you don't even need to put the camera down.
Oh, really? You can see
the door, like you can watch the door open, like
yeah,
yeah.
I didn't know that, but it was like once I knew that, it became really easy to solve everything because it was just like. It does lean on that. Like, first off, there's no other really like clever puzzles other than like the like I said, the minecart part. It's like It's always just yeah. Like as soon as you're like, I reach an impediment, I'm like, oh yeah, well I'll just whip out the tape and rewind to something that like somehow relates to this. And like I don't know, I didn't really get stuck after a while. Like I was just like, which thank God because I wanted it to be over so bad. But
And then there's combat, which is I guess this is where people thought it was
combat.
There's combat. There shouldn't be any combat. Like let's
should be anything. Just, yeah, it should, yeah.
There should be no combat in this game.
There should be no game at all, is what it sounds like.
So this I guess this is why people were thinking that it was an Alan Wake game, which I didn't understand because I don't think Remedy's ever made a first person game. But I guess when they showed this at E3 or whatever, people are like, oh my God, there's flashlight and they're killing enemies with the flashlight. And like, must be Alan Wake too. No, like, I mean, they obviously were inspired by Alan Wake. So there's these weird creatures that show up and you don't have a gun or anything. It wouldn't matter if you did. The only thing that hurts them is light. And your dog will bark or growl in a direction, and that's the way they're coming from. So, like, you go and point your light over there, and it'll kill the enemy. It's really dumb.
That sounds super dumb.
It's like, it's when an enemy shows up, you'll be aware of it, and your vision starts, like, blurring and shit, and it's like, okay, there's an enemy here. You can't see that, like, the enemy's invisible.
No, they're visible. They're really fast, but like you can catch glimpses of them like behind trees.
Yeah, but then they'll go invisible and move somewhere else.
They're very fast, yes.
That's just, well, I guess, yeah, maybe he's like zip somewhere else, whatever. But like, then you're like, all right, I'm looking for it. And like, I'm literally just going in circles with my flashlight. Like, all right.
You didn't really need to go in circles, though. You just got to look where your dog is grabbed, point the light that way.
I try that. That didn't always work either, I felt like, but. There's nothing interesting about it. It's not fun.
There's only like two or three sections of that. It doesn't make any sense why they're there because Blair Witch is a psychological game, it's a psychological film, right? Like it's a movie about like losing your sanity and not knowing what's real. It's never been about like monsters coming to grab you, in the dark outside of like. The witch, which you should never actually see.
Whoa.
Well, you shouldn't see the witch, right? Like,
oh, I thought you were talking about the movie The Witch. I was like,
no.
You should see The Witch. It's all right.
No. I mean, like,
that's you talking about the movie, too. So,
you shouldn't see. I mean, I don't like The Witch movie, but feel free to watch it. It's fine. There's a weird
ghost. I'm kind of there with you, but that's a whole different podcast.
Yeah, that's something different.
You're with Chris on that?
Yeah, I didn't care for it.
Hyped up. I don't love it. I would agree with you on that too, but I think it's like worth seeing. I think it's pretty good, but I think
the last 10 minutes are neat.
Like, I think it's good, but I think critics got like they like ruined it for me too, where I was just like, well, that was not what I, you know, it was nowhere near as good as I thought it was gonna be. Anyways.
Anyway, so like this is basically a 7-hour walking sim.
7 hours?
It's like a 7 hour game.
Oh my god, no.
I enjoyed the atmosphere for most of it, and I kind of like enjoyed like where, you know, this guy's story was going.
Really?
I think he's an asshole. And like I'm glad that he was taken by the forest.
But like, okay, go ahead.
I kind of knew where everything was heading, like ultimately, like we were going to end up basically exactly where he did with this guy at the end. But I don't know. For me, what I really liked is once you get into the house, like it is super atmospheric. I was super creeped out by it. There's some good jump scares in there.
Really? You thought so?
Yeah. Like there were ones like, and I don't know if it was like, you know, I'm playing the game, lights out, like just my screen.
Yeah.
I think that
were you playing with like a head?
No, but I do have like a surround sound
okay.
system going. And like, I think that the sound design worked really well. Like there's lots of good creaks and like noises coming from different angles. And that's a good section of this game. I think is like, it's maybe the last hour and a half or so of the game. Like for me, like that made everything like before that worthwhile. Like I didn't hate everything up until that point. And then once I got there, I was like, yeah, this is what I wanted. This is like, I've been waiting for this haunted house shit like the entire time, which is kind of what I feel about the Blair Witch movie. Like, I think it's like, I don't love that movie. And it is like 70 minutes of tedium until like crazy shit starts happening.
You're breaking my heart here.
And that's what happens in this though. It's like 5 hours of tedium, but then like crazy shit starts happening.
Yeah, but that does not work as well in an interactive medium.
Well, it's not necessarily like, I mean, I'm saying tedium as in like,
I mean, you folks describe walking with a dog. So I mean,
you walk with the dog. Stuff is happening though. Like there's a mystery that you're like, it's not just you wandering around looking for the Blair Witch. Like, you know, there's a reason for you to be out there.
By the time I got to the house, I was so like annoyed with the game, and I thought I didn't think there was any good scares in the game. I thought it was so devoid of even trying to scare you so much of the time. Like, it really is just like boring and you walking around. Like, and once you get to the house, like there's more things going on, but like I felt like that whole section was. I actually think it went on a little longer than it should have. Like I said, I was annoyed and wanted it to be over by that point, and I just felt like it was making me loop through this house.
Hey, you're looping through the house, and you're looping through reality because, like, you're flashing back to when
Alice was a
soldier. Yeah, if you are not buying into it, it's not going to work for you at all, like, and you had hated everything about it up till that point. So
this and the story, like. Honestly, it made me feel like they got this license like later in the development of the game or something. Because like
it does feel tactile.
It feels like it has nothing to do. Like you could have taken the Blair Witch stick figures out of this game and put in something else. I mean, other than like the house at the end, yeah, it looks like the house at the end of the Blair Witch, kind of, right? Like, and yeah, oh, they make the victim stand in the corner, but you could easily have substituted like one or two, three things out and just call it whatever the fuck. And, you know, people would maybe be like, oh, it's kind of like Blair Witch because you're wandering through the woods. But
and I do wonder if that's what happened with this team, because, like, it was published by Lionsgate Games, which I don't know who the hell knows what Lionsgate Games has made before. But they're obviously, like, a movie studio, like, first and foremost. And I guess they own the Blair Witch license. I think they might have, like... Hey, like, you know, this team, blooper team, is like they're trying to sell us, you know, a survival horror game. What if we made it a Blair Witch game and sell it as that? Like, I feel like, I mean, I said it to you like, as we were playing it, this definitely feels tacked on.
I said it as well. I don't know, man. Like, I love Blair Witch, and I actually went into this game not expecting much out of it. I'm kind of over this genre. Like, I'm just kind of like, this isn't great.
Because you didn't like What Remains of Edith Finch either, right? And like,
I thought that was pretty bad too. Well, like that was like at least competent as a game, I guess, or whatever, like more than this.
Was it? I mean, it's the same thing. It's like the same type of puzzles. Like,
yeah, but I think it felt
shorter.
It felt higher quality, like just in terms of.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely not a. This is not a big budget team, and there aren't weird control decisions. Like we're pressing right trigger to do shit.
But you know, this is something that we've talked about on the show before, where like. And like Josh called me out for this on Twitter, like, hey, weren't you the guy that was like all saying Walking Dead game of the year when it came out? I was like, yeah, but that was like, you have to remember like when The Walking Dead came out and when like LA Noir came out, there was this notion that like video games were just on the verge of being as good as movies and they could be as cinematic and blah, 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 right? That was kind of like, the idea at the time, these are games that were kind of like proving that idea. Whereas, like now, I just feel like if you're insistent on stories having to be part of games or like as an important part of games, it's like don't try to be cinematic. Don't try to be this other medium. Embrace what's cool about your medium. And I think like the coolest like kind of stories that you get out of video games come out of the gameplay. That's just kind of like my philosophy on this now. It's like, it's fine once in a while to play one of these like super narrative heavy games, but even like then I would rather play something like Until Dawn rather than, you know, which feels like a choose your own adventure book or something like a Telltale game rather than one of these. Like, I think these are, I don't know. I think even Gone Home, I was like, what the fuck is everyone so impressed about this by? Like, but I think that is like infinitely better than what we got here. Again, I'm a huge Blair Witch fan, and I was just like,
which is funny,
turned off so much by this.
This is more game than like Gone Home or What Remains of Edith Finch or like other, like there's more, there's puzzles here. Like there's actual game, like there's shit that doesn't need to be here. Like you don't need combat in a walking sim, but it has it. Like there's, you know, there's puzzles that generally in walking sims, it's like you go up and you click on the thing and like maybe there's something real simple that you need to move to get the next bit of story. Gone Home was basically just like you just walk around the house finding letters and shit to piece the story together until you get to where you need to go. Like there's more gameplay here than that. Like way more.
I wouldn't say way. I like, cause dude, huge stretches of this game are just like you're confused walking around in the dark in the woods and shit. Just like, okay, what the
fuck? Which is kind of the fucking purpose, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, but it's like it's not, I don't know. It didn't work for me. And then stuff that like, again, other than like that, I keep going back to the minecart level because that was the only part of the game where I was like, oh shit, maybe this is gonna turn around and be good. Like, no. And like the story, like it just feels disconnected from any, like how come we're not talking about Heather and Josh and Chris at all or anything in this? Like it's just this guy who like he has a dark past and you immediately realize that he's like a total fuck up and like that's what the whole thing is going to be like. And it's just,
well, I don't know why it's attached to Blair Witch other than like Lionsgate published it and that's it. Like I don't know why it's attached to it.
It's such an oddball release too, because it's like that sequel came out in 2016, and it was like not received well. And then what? 3 years later, you have like this fucking game. It's
maybe they hope you forgot by now.
Or I don't know. Or I wonder maybe if it's like the Sony thing where, you know, what was it before Sony had like teamed up with Disney to do Spider-Man before this. Snafu. They had to like keep releasing like Spider-Man movies every couple years to keep the license. Maybe Blair Witch is, you know, under license for some reason or whatever. But Lionsgate has to keep doing something with it until
it comes back like Pennywise every fucking 27 years.
Right. it worked more for me. I definitely agree with some of the criticisms Jeff has about the controls and stuff, but
and how much
I did not hate it. I don't know.
It's free on Game Pass.
It's free on Game Pass. So. Oh.
You can be the judge.
I think it's worth it, even free on Game Pass.
No, I mean, Chris seems to have
liked it. I enjoyed it. It's reviewed pretty well.
Yeah, I cannot believe some of the scores it's gotten.
I am surprised by, like, what'd you say, 8.8 from IGN? Like, that seems like, I mean, this game is buggy. Like, outside of the weird control stuff, like, you will get stuck
in a tree. I got stuck in a tree in the first hour, dude.
You will get stuck on geometry at points and have to kind of glitch your way out, or shoot back to a different checkpoint.
I assume it was based off the atmosphere that it created.
Yeah, he just got frozen.
Stuck in a tree, yeah, it's like wiggle back and forth.
I would love to hear, like you guys at least try this game to see what you think. Like, just because, like, I really feel like Chris agrees with me on some things, but, like, he seemed to really enjoy it, and I'm just like, this thing was a really miserable experience, like, through and through.
This is what I would say. If this was July or early August, sure.
Right.
September doesn't really have a window for me to be like, try a game.
Free. You know, you got a couple days.
It's free.
Yours is, Friday, right?
No, yeah. This is tomorrow.
NBA 2K is tomorrow.
Nintendo just announced, like, 20 Super Nintendo games they're going to repay for some odd reason.
Tomorrow.
Borderlands 3 is a week from tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, Link's Awakening is in 2 weeks.
Those are all good excuses.
Yeah, this is
Final
a game.
Final Fantasy VIII just came out.
I mean, I'm saying it's bad, so it's not like.
But to me, this is a game that should have, like, stealth released at E3, right? They showed it at E3. They should have been like, it's out, and I think more people would get a chance to play it, because, I mean, as Earl and Tony just said, like, there's, like, when the fuck are you gonna play it? Like, if you didn't make time for it last weekend, like, you don't have time now, because games are out.
You have time now if it was worth having time now, but it's not.
Exactly the point. It's like, it's weird to be like, you should try. Like, I would try it if there wasn't an onslaught of games coming out in the next 4 months.
The main reason I want you to try it is I want someone to agree with me that it's awful. Like, that's it. It's like, it's not worth it.
Jeff's looking at the critical reviews, being like,
I'm just like, am I crazy?
So confused. Like, and I don't, like, I can see where, you know, if you are, you have turned on, walking sims as a genre, and this one has issues for sure. I just think, like, it was effective enough. There's a creepy atmosphere when you're walking around the forest. And then, like, once I got to the house, like, I was like, yes, this is what I fucking, like, this is what I've been building up to. It took too long to get there, and I had to do that terrible ravine crawl with my dog till I passed out, but the haunted house part of it was fun for me. So,
I have turned on this genre, but, like, I have, you know, there's been, like, more recently, I liked Firewatch. I don't think I would like it as much if I played it today, but I think Firewatch is a lot better than this. I know there's people that, like, think Firewatch is really bad, but, like, I think it's a, like, levels of quality within the.
I think Firewatch has a better story. I think Firewatch, like, just control-wise and tech-wise, it just works more. It does a better job of setting up its story as being something and then twisting it in a different way.
Yeah.
This has a weird, like, twist on, like,
it's like
there's a weird mix of stories here, right? Like,
maybe you didn't like how Firewatch turns out, but, like, it has, like, a strong hook. Like, you know, right away. I think this doesn't. This is just, like, lame ass shit. I forgot. There's something else I was gonna say, but, like, I've lost my train of thought. But anyways, go ahead.
Anyway, like, I am not, like, I would not go and say, hey, go play this. Like, Jeff is, like, even though Jeff,
go play this. I hate it.
Jeff's recommendation is, I fucking hate this game. Please go play it so that I'm not crazy.
I'm not the only one that, like, I'm hoping someone will back me up.
I am confused as well by the, like, super high scores that some places are giving this. I mean, just from a tech perspective, I don't think it's deserving of that. But I enjoyed it enough, like, that I was not like, hey, I fucking hated my time with this like you did. Like, you hate played it. Like, like you literally really hate played for 6 hours.
Disliked it. And I, like, immediately once I was on, deleted that shit. Like, I deleted it off my hard drive. I was just like, get the fuck. Like, give me something, like, and then, like, give me a game that feels like a game right away. Like, fun. I think I would just went and played Doom 2. It's just like, fuck this shit.
Gears 5, baby. Game that's a game.
That is
a game. That is a game. That's a game.
It's evidently a 20-hour campaign too. So
why?
I don't know. That's what I've heard from.
Hey, part of my Gears of War is because you could beat it in like an afternoon.
Yeah, well, Gears 3, yeah, like, that's a lot. Yes, for most of them, they are like 5-6 hour games. I don't know why it's a 20-hour game, but that is what I'm hearing. It is the longest campaign by like double so of any previous Gears campaign. There's also an open world element to it, so I'm interested to see what this thing is. And at worst, Horde is there.
Yeah.
And that sounds fun.
And it's also quote unquote free. Game Pass, so.
So like, yeah, you know, if you end up not liking the campaign, well, whatever. Didn't cost you anything. Except for your Game Pass sub. But. Yeah. Earl, tell us about Astral Chain, which is the other
game that came out on August 30th,
yeah.
And somehow I assume we all missed the other one that came out last week. Somebody did play Control.
I did. We'll get to Control.
Okay. So yes, Astral Chain is the latest game from Platinum Games, known for their over-the-top action video games. And this is kind of no different. Though I will say this one is a lot more, straightforward than the traditional games. One, the buttons are really weird when you start out, but I changed them. So for the most part, you have one attack button in this game. There's not like a light attack and heavy attack. It's just an attack button.
Okay.
The other part of your actions are dealt with the legions, which are the creatures that are on the part of your astral chain. They're kind of creatures from another dimension that you control through a special device. And they kind of auto attack, but you have different ones that you send out, and you can use them in different ways. Like, again, if you throw them towards an enemy, they will just auto attack, and they will kind of defend you depending on what you need. But you can also combo with them. Like, if you do a combo with your own attacks depending on the weapon, like your fourth or fifth attack, you can do a combo with them. You can use them for navigation, so you can kind of chain them to do chain jumps. You can move them forward and then jump to them, and they will pull you forward. You can use them to wrap up enemies by spinning, you know, like run, like both of you running around the enemies to tie them around your chain. So there's a lot of different ways that you can use your legions in battle. But for the most part, the combat for your character that you control is just kind of pressing the Y button repeatedly. And you would think that's kind of tedious, but it's actually really fun. I'm really enjoying it. And I think the thing that works with this more than some of their other games, even though I love Bayonetta, Wonderful 101 is one of my favorite games of all time, is that it is not a purely action game. Like, it's not just like set piece, walk to next set piece, walk to the next set piece, which I feel Bayonetta is.
Right. Bayonetta is just like the evolution of like Devil May Cry or something like that, right?
Yeah. So this one has a bit more going on. You play a police officer, so there are parts when you actually have to do police work. So there are parts where you kind of Batman Arkham Origins, where you do detective work. So you talk to witnesses, you replay security cameras, you investigate the area to see, you know, like point of origin from a bullet shot or something like that. So that's fun. That really breaks it up. Just as a quick aside, am I hearing an echo? Is anybody else hearing an echo?
Yes, it's you.
Yeah, we're hearing an echo from you.
Okay, why is that?
It's gone now.
Yeah, that's weird. Okay. And then there are, you know, it's not necessarily an open world, but there are sections where you kind of go into the town and you can run around. There are little side quests that you can find within that that mission structure that you can do. Some of them you can do right away. Some of them you have to come back to because you get different legions and different legions have abilities on the map. And you start off with one, and then you kind of have to earn the other one. I think in total there's five. I have three of them right now. And so, one of the side missions is you walk around town picking up cans to recycle. And if you pick up like 100 in that level, that's, you're completing the side mission. And again, it's like one of those really stupid things, but it kind of makes sense as a cop that you're, preventing littering. There are times when you might find over here somebody committing a crime or wanting to commit a crime. So you have to chase them down with your legion, and instead of using the force, you use the legion to kind of tie them up to incapacitate them and stuff like that. So out of that stuff, again, it's really nice that they kind of take their time to slow down the game, kind of get you into this world, understanding the characters, and not necessarily just set piece to set piece. But you can also go to the Astral Chain, and then there will be a ton of big battles. Like in traditional Platinum style, there's a variety of enemies who all get really dramatic entrances, which is really cool. It has an absolutely, so far, I think, a terrific score, some amazing music in it. I like how the music kind of ramps up and ramps down depending on action going on or what you're doing in the game. The police headquarters, which is your base of operations, is a really cool well. So far I'm having fun with it. I don't, there's not one major like, oh man, I wish they didn't do this in this game yet. But give anything time and that will present itself.
You've done more to sell me on this game than anybody else that I've heard talk about it or explain it. Like the whole like police, like the cop thing, like the, investigations and shit, like that sounds way cooler than anything else that I've heard.
Yeah, because, I like Platinum games and stuff, but I know a lot of people, I've had people on my timeline say this as well. It's like, it's really hard to get into because it's so much of it is, one, it's battle after battle after battle, so it's really hard to kind of take a breather and slow yourself down, but also because it's so, skill-based, it's so much, known how to dodge Kensu and to parry at the right time, and there are stuff like that in this game, but it's not as necessary as it is in something like a Bayonetta, or even a Wonderful 101. And because the secondary element is still, really it's just one button that you use to send them out, and you hold down that button to control the direction and where they go. So it's not like you're using a ton of buttons. Buttons do different stuff, but for the most part, you really have to use three buttons, dodge, attack, and send out your legion. And that's essentially it.
Okay.
There's other stuff. There's puzzle elements to it as well. Like the sword legion can be used to cut certain stuff in the environment. The arrow legion can be used to shoot stuff in a distance. But again, that's stuff that's really slowed down. It's not always happening. It's mostly not happening from battle. It's just you using this throughout to navigate these environments.
That sounds interesting. At least I'm not a huge fan of Platinum, but.
I'm weird. I like one of the things I love about Bayonetta, like what got me into, I guess, into the genre a little bit was Bayonetta, and it was because it's just so in your face and so like no filler. Like it is just like kind of like boss battle after boss battle almost.
Yeah, and right. It's great in that regard, but I do know that some people get exhausted by it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like the difference between like watching the Fast and the Furious movie. And watching Die Hard, both action movies, but one time it takes us time to build up set pieces, the other one's like we're just gonna go insane with the next one.
But like, and like to me, like I'm not like totally opposed to them. Like, oh, we're gonna break this up with like some detective shit. Like that's fine. I'm interested to check that out. What's got me most interested in the game is what I've heard about like the combat and everything, and just kind of hearing it's like kind of like a greatest hits of Platinum shit. Like it's still like. If you dodge at the right time, it goes into slow motion and shit like that. But also,
it's not as obvious as slow motion as something like Bayonetta, where you activate which time. But yeah, you do that, and then again, if you time it right, you can also use your legion to do a counter attack. But it's not as necessary as it is in Bayonetta.
But like, I also like the idea of like very kind of basic controls for it. Like, I think that's a great idea. And I like the idea of the minions. Like, I'm like, I like Platinum Games like combat usually, so like this just sounds like a cool evolution of it. Like, I almost bought it the other night. Like, I was so close to pulling the trigger on it, but I was like, you know what? You've bought a bunch of games, fucking Gears is coming out in like a day or two, like just chill.
Also play the ones you have.
Yeah.
Just bought.
Yeah, exactly. To get through Bear Witch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm now more interested than I was. That's something.
I will get it. I'm guessing it will go on sale Black Friday. So, you know,
that's one of my things too. Is like, I feel like of the Nintendo games coming out this fall, this is the second most likely to see a price drop by Black Friday. The other one would be Demon X Machina.
That'll probably drop.
When's that? Is that already out or
no? That's out. No, it's not the 20th or the 27th.
Okay. Really? I thought it was like the 13th.
Busy month. No, the 13th. No, it might be the 13th. It might be Borderlands.
Next Friday?
Yeah. Yeah. Because the demo's the second demo's out now. The
demo out like a week before. Like a second demo, because I guess the first one. I tried the first one, and I was like, it didn't sell me on it. That's for sure. But I heard like the game's, you know, that was a really old kind of.
Well, it was essentially a beta that they put out as a demo because they did do that, and then they took solicited feedback and they improved it and showed it at E3, and then this is kind of showing the finalized version of it. So, I mean, that's kind of always a risk because I didn't like the first demo either. So, I'm curious to see what the second one offers. But again, like right now. As interested as I am in a mech game, I can't just do with something I'm interested in when there's so many games I actually do want to play coming out over the next month.
Yeah, there's a lot coming out. October looks a little barren for me, but
it's so weird because I find it funny because then like we had the Nintendo Direct, which we'll get to, but there's been a few games this week and last week where people are like, you know, September isn't crowded enough. Let me stealth drop my title. And I'm just like, did you look at a calendar and be like, this is a great time to release my game?
Yeah.
Dude, October looks amazing to me. Like, it's like the only, like, other than Zelda coming out, like, October has, like, all the other games I'm looking forward to. I mean, it's not a lot, but they're all within, of course, 3 days of each other, but.
Yeah, it's like the last week of October looks pretty good, but, like, everything else is like, they're not like a lot there for me.
Yeah, I guess I'm just counting that as part of the whole month when it's really like the very end.
It's like
of
the
it.
Last week, like Before we get into the other big game, I guess from last week, Tony.
Yes,
I feel we've neglected you a bit.
That's okay. I'm fine with it.
give us your update. Your now weekly update on. Tutorial.
I have beaten the tutorial.
All right, we're
it's
done.
Over. Victory.
And no credits.
Should I actually play a real campaign? That's the real question. I don't know. It doesn't seem like the time, right? Because on the edge of Gears and NBA 2K, I don't want to like start a campaign and like not finish.
Right.
On the other hand, I feel like I've spent like 4 hours playing this tutorial. Maybe I should actually play the game it was meant for. I don't know, maybe. But
well, the good thing about the tutorial, like the way Age of Empires campaign works, right? Like you can see how many missions there are.
That's right. So I can play through the Hittite campaign, which is only 3 missions.
There you go.
So maybe I'll do that. Sure. Why not?
You could do that. and have you traded Tom Brady?
I have. I traded him for a second round pick.
That's pretty good.
I'm because he's like 43 and and all of his stats are going down to nothing. And I have already drafted his replacement, whose name is Null. I'm not really sure what that means for his future.
It's not good.
I'm assuming that since I'm, you know, decent at Madden, he'll be okay, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. Well, sorry, Tom, you had to go.
Yeah, I was trying to get, like, I was like, okay, I can get a first round and a second round for him. No, nobody really wants Tom Brady that much. Not when he's ancient. You can't exactly build your franchise around a player who might retire every season.
Yeah. All right. I played Control.
I hear good things. It looks cool. You know what? I did not look at this game at all. It came out and then watching some videos. I'm like, oh, I see. I see what the big deal is here.
It's really cool. I talked a little bit about it last week. Played like the like prologue for it. I now have way more powers. So Jesse, who is the main character, she becomes the director, which is a chosen position. Like you don't really go in an interview for the position of this Federal Bureau of Control. You are basically anointed the leader. And Jesse is the main character. She is there for other reasons, but that they are slowly doled out, kind of TV style, which is very Remedy-ish, like like Remedy, very inspired by like television serialization and how they handle their stories. That's still true here, but Jesse gets a gun as the director, and that gun can transform into do other things. You can carry two different modifications of that gun, which is called the service weapon. One is just like a regular handgun. Another one is like a shotgun type thing or a sniper rifle type. There's different, your standard guns. That's the shooting portion of the game. But what's really cool is the fact that she can like use telekinesis and throw shit at people or rip up like rocks or shit from the ground and create a barrier. Or she can levitate now. Like I just got that to later in the game. Like you can basically fly for a period of time. You can punch really strong, like with your telekinesis, like super punch. So she has all these powers at her disposal, and you're taking out these enemies called the Hiss, which are just kind of like drones. And like every battle feels like that scene in The Matrix in the lobby, like where everything gets fucking ripped apart. Like you are taking out chunks of wall, and after you fight somebody in Control, like the room is fucking destroyed, and it is pretty cool.
You know what it looked like to me, which is a game I've not like played. I don't think I've played through that whole game, but like that game PsyOps, remember that shit? It was like you were like doing like basically telepathy and shit, like carrying shit around and throwing it at mm-hmm. shit.
Oh yeah, and that's another power that Jesse has. She can when you get an enemy down low enough, you can basically take control of their mind, and they become a drone and join you as like a fighter on your side.
Ooh.
So you can create like teammates, because most of the time you're fighting by yourself. You will occasionally AI people to work with. It all takes place in this office building, which sounds boring, except they do a really good job of. It really is. Like they do a great job of like everything feels like it all belongs, but also feels very different. Like when you get to the maintenance section, like it looks different from like the executive section, which is a lot of desks and like fancy furniture and boardrooms or like the area where like the mailroom is. Like it's obviously like the worker bees work here, like in the pneumatics and like where they're shooting tubes around the office. But what's really cool is that it's all kind of linked to this thing called the Oldest House, which allows you to kind of teleport through things and go into different planes of existence. So like you basically teleport to this place called the Mountain View Hotel or Hotel and Casino by clicking on this light switch. And that'll bring you to this hotel, and you have to like solve puzzles there and shit. You never know what's going to happen when you pull on one of these light switches, though. you could end up somewhere else in the house, or you could end up in this hotel, or you can end up in a different area of the office complex. And the way the story is doled out is just enough to like keep you coming back, kind of like a TV would be. So every mission ends almost with like this kind of like, hey, come back next week to see what's on control. Doesn't get that goofy about it, but it definitely lays it on. It feels like it's a TV show in a way. I don't want to spoil the story because I think it's like really cool and something that like I think you should maybe experience and figure out on your own. So I don't really want to talk much about that. But like gameplay wise, it's a ton of fun. Like I love throwing shit at people and watching them explode and backing off with guns. And you're always moving around. It's not like you're just hiding behind a wall or something. Doing that, you'll end up dead real quick. So the combat's fun and engaging.
So better than Blair Witch.
Oh, it's way better. Like it is. It's a tump. I am playing it on an Xbox One X. I do not. I've heard from people that are playing it on base systems that it does not run well. Like it drops into the teens, frame rate wise, in like heavy combat situations. Which sucks because that's like the coolest part of the game is like when you're fighting like a horde of enemies and you're picking shit up and tossing it at them and then flying over across the screen and using your dash and punching them and dropping headshots or explosive barrels on them. But if like it's slowing down and it makes it so it's not fluid, I could see that being an issue. I'm not having that issue because I have a 1X, but that is like the one thing that I'd be wary of recommending it. If you were playing on a base system, I would say don't do that until they patch it, which they said may take a little. I can't recommend it enough though. Like it is so fucking good. I've been playing it every night since I got it, doing like a mission a night, and there's like a ton of like side stuff. There's a ton of like lore and flavor to pick up. I think I'm like over 100 collectibles so far that I found. And if you like read them or watch them or listen to them, like in like Remedy fashion, like some of them are funny and well done. There's a lot of videos. There's like a TV show in the game that is pretty dark, hysterical. It's really good. It's a really well-made game. So go out and play Control if you can.
It was on sale for like $38.
But I think that was quickly patched.
It was like accidentally on sale for $38?
Well, no, it wasn't actually on sale. I think Target was having like a 25% off sale. Mm. And it was just kind of caught up in it, and Amazon price matched it. Because Amazon price matches everything. So it was just like $38. And people were like, oh, does it sell? Because it was like $38 on like Monday or something like that.
Yeah, I saw somebody. Somebody said like it was $38 on Amazon, and actually, Man of Medan was like $25 on Amazon. But
yeah,
so
I want digital. I want everything digital when it comes to games. So,
well, what I do with digital now is I find places like I pre-ordered Borderlands 3 and Man of Medan. There's a site that has like PlayStation points for like 15% off. And that usually helps a lot.
Yeah.
Smart. I just figure, you know, it'll go on sale again for sure. I will play that too.
Yeah, it is up there on my like my favorites of the year, so. Jeff, you played two more games. Let's burn through them quick. Some Nintendo shit to talk.
I know one of them was A Hat in Time.
Mm-hmm.
Just a wonderful, like, classic 3D platformer, like, kind of in the vein of Mario 64. I think it has, like, it's colorful, really good controls. Like, really, like, have you played this game?
I have not. I've heard of it, but I have not played it.
Yeah, like a double jump, and then after you do the double jump, you could dash through the air like probably 20 feet forward, and then you could jump out of that dash like a single jump, like, and it just feels really good. Like, controls are great. Two things I'd probably say that like kind of bug me about the game a little bit, like really long load times. Like if you die, you're talking like a 30-second load time to get put back in the level, which is like, I can't believe they have not patched that at this point or done something to make that quicker. That's a bummer. Also, the game gets pretty hard at points, and there's definitely parts I'm at now, like, because, you know, it's like Mario 64, where you go in different directions. Like, there's parts where I've dead-ended where I'm like, God, I don't want to do that, you know, so I'll leave. Very early on, even, like, the very first boss I fought was, like, surprisingly hard. Like, I fought them probably 10 times. I was like, holy shit. Like, they're not playing here. But yeah, that game is awesome. Like, if you are into 3D platformers, that's a huge recommend, dude. Like, it's, other than those, like, kind of two things that, like, stick out for me, like, I am blown away by how good this game is. Like, this is a game that Ukulele wished it fucking was. It's great. It's really good. It's, like, surprising, too, because it's, like, this little indie game, but it's fucking fantastic.
I wish I hadn't kickstarted Ukulele and then bought
the... Yeah, you should buy this, though, Chris. Like, even, I would say, at $30, the price I paid for it, like, worth it, dude.
Nice.
I know there's a lot of games out right now, so
yeah. I'll wish list it.
Yeah.
Get to it at some point.
I don't remember what the hell the other one. What's the other one I played?
You have Gears Ultimate on.
Here. Oh, nothing really to say there except I downloaded, you know, Gears of War 1 Ultimate
Edition. Yeah.
You've been talking so much Gears, and you know, I just wanted to like reacquaint myself a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's Gears. Yeah, I guess like they really redid it though. Like it fucking.
It looks great, looks, right?
Yeah, it does look really good. And I think that was probably my favorite Gears. I don't know. It's hard for me to say. I've only played all of them once.
I don't know if it's my favorite.
It was just like I remember like getting it. I think I bought it at like a 7-Eleven after midnight. Like I was randomly drunk in a 7-Eleven. I saw like it was out now. And that was back when 7-Eleven sold
the game. That was a weird time.
Yeah. And I was just like, you know what? I'm drunk enough that I'm just going to fucking, like, I was a broke-ass motherfucker at the time. I would just, like, put out my credit card. And then, like, playing it and then being like, oh, the next gen has now actually arrived. Like, it felt like, everything about it felt new and fresh, you know? And like, every gear since has just been, like, more gears. So it's just like... I don't know. I have more fondness for that first one just because of that. Other than like
how drunk you were.
Yeah, that too. What like, but other than like horde mode, that was like a big like thing that they added later on. But like, you know, they kind of had the idea there in the first one, and it was good. You know, like
so. Yeah. I mean, they, you know, Gears 2 and Gears 3 were more gears like. I like them, and I think that they improve aspects of the game in each of them, but yeah.
It's just like the first time you like chainsaw a motherfucker, like you're never going to get that
out of school. Yeah.
You've done that already, you know. So
that never gets old, by the way.
It's great.
Like, and that game is like a really interesting control scheme that's like awesome, actually. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not like the hugest fan of Gears, but I got like mad respect for the series. Like, I think it is a quality shooter, you know?
Yeah, I'm excited for 5, especially, like, hearing that they've changed the, you know, how the campaign is, and to see what is different about it, but also just, like, I think it's a great playing shooter. Like,
yeah,
just when we sit down and play Horde, like, it's just a ton of fun. Feels right.
Yeah.
All right, so there was evidently some Nintendo YouTube stream or something where they announced Deadly Premonition 2 and Super Nintendo game. I think I've hit all the high points, right, Earl?
Pokemon. There were new Pokemon. There's a Pokemon that is a ghost in a teacup or a teapot.
Yes, there's a Pokemon that's a ghost, and it's called Poltegeist.
Yes, Poltegeist.
Yes.
Poltegeist.
Oh, that is terrible and amazing.
Yes. And oddly enough, still not the weirdest Pokemon. I mean, still never going to get over the fact that they have Ice Cream Cone. or an actual washing machine Pokemon.
Jeez.
Come on, they've got a Pokemon that's like ice cream that's like called All Creamy.
To be fair to them, I would also run out of ideas after like the first 500.
Like, what do we do now? How about a kitchen sink? I guess.
They got a dog Pokemon now who retrieves your Pokeballs for you. I mean,
that's useful.
That's useful.
I mean, to be fair, the Pokemon headliners of these games is a dog with a shield head and one that carries a sword in his mouth. So, there's no way to go but up, I guess. But yes, there was a Nintendo Direct. Chris mentioned that Deadly Premonitions 1 and 2 were announced for the Switch. One's out now? One's out now as Deadly Premonition Origins, and then 2 comes out in 2020. And then they announced that for some odd reason it has to have a separate name. I don't know why, but Super Nintendo Entertainment System, Nintendo Switch Online.
Oh my god, I experienced pain in my soul right there.
That's a mouthful. Is it a different app?
I think so.
Hmm.
What?
But I mean, the grand scheme of things is not a big deal. It's just really weird.
What's one more app?
Right. I just assumed it would roll it all in together, but
yeah, you would think again. Just have like a different tab.
Yeah.
But yes, unlike the NES, though, they're launching with 20 games up front. So tomorrow, as of this recording, I mean, it will be out by the time this hits. You will get Brawl Brothers, Breath of Fire, Demon's Crest, F-Zero, Joe Mac 2, Kirby's Dream Car, Kirby's Dream Land 3, Pilot Wings, Star Fox, Stunt Race FX, Super EDF, Super Goose and Ghost, Super Mario Kart, Super Mario World, Super Mario World 2, Super Metroid, Super Puyo Puyo 2, Super Soccer, Super Tennis. It was a lot of games with Super in the title.
So much Super.
And A Link to the Past. All of those games will be available tomorrow. They will feature the rewind feature that was in the NES one. So if you screw up, you can just back the game up a bit. And some of them will also feature online play, not just that weird controller turnoff thing they were trying to sell, but actual like multiplayer. So I think this might be the first time for something.
Let's play Mario Kart.
Well, are you doing Mario Kart or you two players?
Oh.
Let's play Mario Kart.
We could still play it. Other Mario Kart.
Yeah, we could have. Like, I mean, I actually have Mario Kart, but I mean, Mario Kart 8 is so far superior in almost every regard.
I know, but I think the original Mario Kart is interesting because it's just different. It feels different, I think, from the whole rest of the series. It's still fun.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And I think, I mean, I don't know if I said this on the show, but I mean, I've said it before elsewhere. Super Nintendo is a much more interesting generation than NES. Like, the NES just has always felt dated to me. Right? At least the Super Nintendo, I thought, always kind of aged gracefully. I think partially because we did move on to 3D afterwards, so it's not like, you know, like 8-bits, we had 16-bits, so we saw the evolution of that. We're out of this stuff. You see indie games that copy the Super Nintendo style now, but it's not like the industry standard.
I think that generation has aged the best out of any generation almost.
Sure.
It's the one that feels the most timeless, I think.
Yeah.
The next generation, the first 3D games, all really kind of ugly.
Yeah, they're ugly. Doesn't matter what system they were on.
Every single one of them, without fall.
And in a lot of cases, figuring out the gameplay, too. Like, 3D gameplay was still new then, so a lot of it doesn't feel good anymore. Like,
I mean, that's why we have tank controls, or even Tomb Raider had like those weird tank controls as well, because you had a D-pad navigating in space. But I don't use the Nintendo stuff much, but it's a nice kind of thing to kill some time every now and then.
Yeah, I was about to rehook up my Super Nintendo Classic to play A Link to the Past. And now I don't have to.
That's the other good thing, because they got us all for like $80 to buy those things. And now
they're all there.
But it is cool. There is a, you know, there's a couple games that are not from that, at least, you know, at least it's not the same exact. I was like worried because as he started going down the list, I was like, these are all on the fucking classic. There's a few in there that are not.
There's no Super Castlevania.
What right. The fuck is Joe and Mac 2? Is that like a platformer?
Yes.
Is that any good?
Don't remember it. And I assume that there's no Super Castlevania because they just had the Konami collection with Castlevania.
Yeah.
It's the same, you know, we had the Mega Man X collection, you had the Castlevania collection, you had the Contra collection. So I don't know if like other big Super Nintendo games are on other systems. So I'm curious to see what they do dig out over the next year or so, because I assume they have to update this. Then again, this is Nintendo, so you never know.
Well, I mean, like the Donkey Kong Country games weren't on there. Like them, but they're not there. There's a bunch of games they can do.
How about Union Racers? That's a Nintendo game. And they can easily. Union Racers is great, and you could play the whole game two players. Like they could easily add an online mode. Like I want Union Racers. God damn it!
I'm also I think there's an
issue with Union Racers, though.
There's what?
I think there's an issue with Union Racers.
Really? Oh, shit. Because it was developed by whatever Rockstar was called at the time, something weird.
Yeah, so there was a lawsuit.
Oh.
Okay, so here we go. Shortly after the game's release, DMA Design was sued by Pixar for allegedly copying the unicycle design and concept from their 1987 short film Red Dream. Blah, blah, blah. DMA lost the lawsuit, and as a result, Nintendo had to terminate production of further Unirally cartridges, according to whoever. The deal was Nintendo wouldn't make any more carts, so it only sold 300,000 in its initial run. It doesn't sound like they can do that.
That's so disappointing, dude. That game is amazing.
Yeah, I thought I had heard something weird about Uniracers before.
That sucks. That's
what it is.
Well, if you play ROMs, fucking play that. You know, I personally do not, but I have played it before, and it's an awesome game, dude. That sucks. Demon Crest, though, they threw Demon Crest on there. I love that game. Yeah, I played through that kind of like a couple years ago, so I don't know if I'll do it again, but that's cool.
Okay, my other favorite thing about this, just a real quick aside, I get it, I understand the notion of it, but I still find it funny where people are like, oh, I can't buy these games. I'm like, you're paying them $20 a month, $20 a year, and you can access these whenever you want.
Yeah.
Like, you only have to check in, like, once a week to make sure you still have a subscription. And, like, I get, like, if you want to buy it, it's still available on the Wii U and the 3DS and the, I guess not the Wii anymore, but. So, yes. So, Terry Bogard from Fatal Fury is coming to Smash Ultimate.
Cool.
And Banjo, Well, I mean, it isn't. I mean, at this point, I think they're just going for historical significance.
Dude,
and
I thought it was a new game called, like, Super Smash Brothers Cross fucking Fatal Fury. I was like, what? Like, I was so confused. Like, I was like, no way, dude. That's fucking really weird.
Because Super Smash Brothers is already, like, a cross-everything game. Because
they throw up a title card that says Super Smash Brothers Cross. Like, maybe they do that for every announcement. I don't know.
They do it now for franchises. Like, they did it for Super Smash Brothers Cross, Persona.
Okay, Smash Brothers so. Cross. I just like, didn't know that motif. I was like, what?
Because they also did it later on when they did, like, you know, the Goemon is going to be a Mii fighter. Sane from Undertale is a Mii fighter. And it's like, you know, it's Smash Brothers X, Undertale, Smash Brothers X, Goemon, the last night, Smash Brothers X, Mega Man Zero, stuff like that. And then Banjo-Kazooie dropped today, so he's available to play now.
It makes me want to buy, like, you know, it'd be awesome if he was, like, in the core game. I don't think I'd... Anyways.
Tokyo Mirage Sessions Pound FE Encore was announced. It's coming to the Switch in January. I'm super stoked for that. One of the best RPGs on the Wii U. Okay, let me not say that. One of the best RPGs in a while. Because there wasn't a ton of RPGs on the Wii U.
Not out of
competition. And on that same note, they also announced Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition.
That was a weird ending, though. It's just, like, that was, like,
yeah.
The,
It was the ending, and I obviously know Vic.
My girlfriend was like, this is Zelda. I'm like, no, it's not. No, it's not. It's not Zelda. And I knew what it was.
Yeah, I knew what it was right away. Like I said, yeah. One of my absolute favorite games. I've owned it on the Wii. I owned it on the 3DS. I owned it on the Wii U. I will definitely pick up the Switch version again. But it felt like such a wet fart of an ending.
Based so off weird, of this yeah. Direct. They almost always have like one more thing, and it's like usually yeah. Awesome.
And like, honestly sounds, speaking, even though it leaked, I think Overwatch would have been a better ending for them.
I mean, I didn't care about that either, but I guess...
No, but at least yeah. Overwatch is a big game that has not been ported to every Nintendo system since the Wii.
So was Overwatch announced?
Yeah, it was the first game announced.
Yeah.
That's coming October 17th. It has okay. Motion controls and portable PA. Assassin's Creed that's Rebel cool. Collection, which will be Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag, and Assassin's Creed Rogue.
Okay.
In one bundle, it's coming December 6th. That also had touchscreen and motion controls.
Divinity. Yeah, I was just going to say, Divinity Original Sin 2 is available now.
It's out now, cross-saved with the Steam version. Game Freak's Town is now called Little Town Hero, and it's an RPG where you basically, it's one location that you have to defend, and you can... partner up with townsfolks as the game goes on for battles that you win not by using fists but by using your brain. I forget how they tried to explain it. It was weird.
When does that come out?
This is out October 16th.
Oh wow, so soon.
Huh. And the music is well, yeah. I mean, it was announced almost 2 years
ago. Yeah, I remember seeing it announced, yeah.
Bethesda's releasing Doom 64, which is out November 22nd.
I was happy. That was one thing I was like, that's neat, because I've always heard that Doom 64 is kind of its own thing, and that's pretty awesome. So,
yeah, so yeah, it takes place after Doom 2.
Yeah, it's like it's not like a port of Doom on 64. It was its own thing made by Midway, actually. It looks awesome. Like, I'm playing Doom right now, and it looks like even cooler Doom. So.
And it looks like it's... And it looks like it's one of those games that has not really been around much outside of
no.
The release.
Yeah.
Star Wars Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast was announced.
That's a weird one.
So like, random, dude.
I'm not opposed to it. It's just weird. Like
yeah. Well, I mean, part of it makes sense because I think EA announced at E3 that they were going to port their Star Wars game to systems. I guess this is just kind of out of that field. Because like, if you were to think about Star Wars games on a Nintendo system, I'm almost certain I know which one everybody would actually want to be ported first.
Fucking Rogue Leader, biatch! At least for me.
Yeah, well, the whole trilogy.
Yeah. I mean, I'd want TIE Fighter made for consoles, but I guess that's
but yeah, I don't even know, but yeah. And then I think Jedi, I forget how the title would go, but Jedi Academy is also announced for 2020.
Okay, that's neat.
Super Kirby Crash is a free-to-play Kirby game. It's a sequel to the 3DS game. I don't know if any of you played Kirby Crash, but it's essentially, it's an online four-player co-op. Essentially, like you take mini missions. Some of them are boss ones, some of them are just stages. You complete them. You have a certain amount of stamina before you have to kind of recharge for the day or for hours or something like that. So kind of your traditional free-to-play model. But it's pretty fun. I mean, Kirby doesn't really have a bad game. Luigi's Mansion 3 announced its APR versus mode and some new hotel levels. Pokemon Sword and Shield we kind of talked about. There's a teapot. There's a Pokemon camp where you can kind of play with your Pokemon and cook them food. You can, you know, play dress up and stuff like that.
But you can't cook your Pokemon, which made me sad.
You can't cook your Pokemon.
You need to be able to cook your Pokemon. They're delicious.
Okay.
The flesh of the Magikarp. It's, the you flesh. Know, exquisite.
You just have to make sure it's scaled properly. Animal Crossing New Horizons got an update. I don't know if any of you are into Animal Crossing.
Well, sure.
Okay.
Tiny bit.
I've crossed some animals in my day.
the Return of Obenden. Apparently, this is a big indie PC game from
last year. Oh yeah, it's one I wanted to play last year. It's a cool puzzle, like.
I like the style.
Yeah, very neat visual style to it.
Yeah, so this is out later this year. Rogue Company is a new team-based shooter from Hi-Rez Studios, which is the company behind Smite and Paladin and some other free-to-play titles that are... How do I put this gently? It's crap, what was that? Not PopCap. There used to be like a company that... GameLoft that would make knockoff like game versions of popular games on mobile.
Oh yeah, like they made like that Diablo type game, and they have that Need for Speed game, Asphalt 8.
Yes, yes.
Modern Combat, which is like the Call of Duty one. Yeah,
yeah. So that's essentially what Hi-Rez Studios is. Paladins is Overwatch. Smite is their MOBA. I think they do. There's one other that's kind of like their arena shooter, and this kind of looks like any other kind of squad based 4v4 shooter. Tetris 99 is getting a mode called Infiniticus, which is you have to have won a game of Tetris 99.
Oh, okay.
And this is kind of like for the cream of the crop to go. So essentially, it's a playlist. So I'm hoping that everybody who's good in Tetris 99 goes there so I can actually win one.
Right.
Fingers crossed. And then they're also adding daily missions to Tetris 99. And when you complete those missions, you can get coupons or tickets that you can redeem for different themes in game. So you don't just get them for winning the some of the Maximus tournaments that they have sometimes.
Right.
And we already talked about the Daemon X Machina demo that was out. And then there was a few, you know, like we saw more stuff for The Witcher. Devil May Cry 2 was announced for later this month, which everybody had fun with.
That's a bad game. I guess they had already like Devil May Cry is out.
It's gonna be like $30 or some shit.
Really?
I bet you. I don't know.
Well, I assume what they're going to do is they're gonna release all three of them. Then they're gonna release the trilogy.
yeah.
So you're a fool if you don't know Capcom's ways by now. That's on you.
So nobody should buy Devil May Cry 2 by.
Well, I've never played that Devil May Cry game, but from the reactions I saw on Twitter, it seems like nobody suggests Devil May Cry 2 in general. So
no,
there's that. So yeah, that was the bulk of the Nintendo Direct. It was a pretty good Direct. I think it's, you know, they had a really great lineup going into the end of the year anyhow, and they just kind of stretched it out. We got one or two titles for early next year, which is good. But you know, there are a lot of people who say this and I kind of agree. It is very port heavy, but at the same time, it's such a weird concept. Not a weird concept. You just kind of realize how many games have never been on the Nintendo system. It's like, even though it's a port heavy, it's like, it's also an audience that has never really had to experience those games.
I want every cool game on the Switch. I love it, dude. Like, Switch continues to like keep me fucking happy, dude. Like, there's so much cool shit on it.
Oh yeah, yeah, go on.
No, go ahead, Earl.
Oh no, I was gonna say it's very weird, especially I come back at the X. This is the first time I can think of in different that you have a Nintendo system that's inundated with third-party titles to the point where like I made a comment on Twitter. Like Mario seems to have taken a back seat on this whole system. He has like one game coming out over the next 6 months, and that's the Mario and Sonic games. And that's not even Nintendo, that's Sega.
He has had three games, though,
this prior year. To that, right? Well, I mean, this is his third game this year, I think. But, I mean, overall, it does feel like Mario's taking a backseat in general.
Right, yeah.
Because he wasn't even, like Mario Maker was a part of E3, but like, it wasn't a big part of their presentation at E3.
Right.
And then Super Mario Deluxe was just kind of a game that came out that sold well. But yeah, and somebody pointed out like there's really no new first party Nintendo titles that was announced at this direct. Like there are remakes, like
Xenoblade.
No, because Tokyo Mirage Session is actually out, so that's not even Nintendo doing that. And I'm almost certain that they probably aren't doing Xenoblade.
But like getting Divinity Original Sin 2 on a Nintendo system, like that's cool, dude. Like,
oh no, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not disputing that. I mean, Overwatch, even though it's years old, is still one of the biggest.
Yeah, it's like
it's weird to think about the fact outside of Call of Duty, like almost every major title is on the Switch. Minecraft, yeah. Overwatch, Fortnite, you know, we're getting Assassin's Creed, even though not day and date. You're getting Doom Eternal day and date. You're getting that Outer Worlds game is coming
day
and date. So there are big titles coming that in years past you would not have gotten ever. So it's a big turnaround for them. And I think, you know, part of it is that there's a hook that everybody gets. Like, I have motion controls, but I understand that everybody was into them. But being able to play your games on the go or play The Witcher 3 on the toilet is easy for people to understand.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to play The Witcher 3 on the toilet.
This is true.
I don't want to play any...
Tetris 99 for you.
I don't Tetris want to play any video games on the toilet, but some people are into that for some reason. I mean, I don't know how long they're going to be on the toilet, but... that's their prerogative.
Yeah.
In non-Nintendo news, I forget her name, but the creative director of Ghostwire?
The one that was on stage.
Yes, at E3.
Yes.
Has left the company.
Oh.
And,
shocker.
I mean, that is shocking. I mean,
she's
she was
famous
kinda...
now.
Yeah, but that's exactly when you want to keep her happy. Like, she is the face of that game.
Yeah, I mean, she was like it because it wasn't necessarily what's his name, Shinji Mikami game, right? Like this was gonna kind of be Nakamura's game.
Yeah.
So where does that leave Ghostwire?
I mean, I assume it's like any other game. You just kind of throw in somebody else. But, you know, it's one of those things that... because I think it's the second game recently that has lost a creative director and people...
Halo Infinite did.
Yeah. Oh, right. That's the one. But yeah. Halo Infinite... I mean, I guess Ghostwire doesn't have a date either. So it could just be like they had an idea and they don't know how to get it to work. And, you know, like we've heard horror stories about how much this industry can... industry can chew people up and spit them out, so it could just be burnout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she's evidently been there for 9 years, so.
Yeah, and I assume this is probably her first season, so who knows. And writer news, Dave Bautista, Drax the Destroyer, will be coming to Gears of War 5 as a playable character.
That's
so, this...
so weird, but it works.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically designed around his body type, right?
Right. I mean, he's been lobbying to be Marcus Fenix.
Hey,
Marcus. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's cool, I guess. I mean, this whole thing where they're just adding so many, like, they have the Reach, like the two Reach Spartans in Gears. They have Sarah Connor and the Terminator. in Gears, and now Dave Bautista, like... what the fuck is Gears multiplayer?
Whatever it wants to be.
Yeah.
I'm curious, are these people in Horde or is it just multiplayer?
Yeah, because evidently Horde, like, they have special skills. Horde and Escape, they're going to have, like, they're class defined. What I saw today, so I watched a video on how operations work, which is... it looks like kind of like their season pass, but you don't buy it. It just happens over the course of 3 months.
You can
gain experience towards it. And that's what the, did you play any of the beta, the tech test?
I did not.
Okay. So
and I forgot to pay it to get the, you were supposed to pay Gears 4 in a certain window to get stuff for Gears 5, right?
Yeah. There was stuff. You probably got some of it just by, you know, logging in. Like, shit probably popped. But which is when I think when we started playing it again, like, everybody got achievements and turned them off. There's definitely stuff you had to do certain things for. But in the Gears 5 tech test, they have it's called Tour of Duty. And basically, they're like daily challenges. And you do those challenges, and they will rank up your operations pass or something, or your Tour of Duty pass. And that's how you get, like, I don't think there's any Gears packs like there were in 4. So that's how you, like, get your unlocks, is, like, you rank up, and there's unlocks assigned to each rank. And they're going to be, like, I guess, situated within that season. Yeah, I don't know. It seems real weird, but there's going to be characters that you get for doing those things.
Well, I mean, I'm all for the craziness of it. It's a fun little gimmick, and it's a fun way for them to be like, yes, here's this random celebrity who's going to be a Gears of War character now.
Yeah, like keep showing up to play. And like, here's some weird stuff. Here's Dave Bautista. Here's John Cena. And like,
right.
Yeah.
I don't know why you have John Cena in it, but
he's the Marine. I mean, why not have John Cena in it?
It's true.
I mean, throw The Rock in there. Throw in John McCain from when he was younger. Throw in Vin Diesel if you can.
Oh my God, could you imagine like having like Die Hard 1 John McClane?
Full just set of like, hair and everything.
Just a t-shirt, yeah. and hair.
Oh, that would be amazing if like, they did his chest thing and it's just all white.
I totally thought you said John McCain, by the way.
Have John McCain too, yeah.
He could be in there too. I mean, the only thing I want, at least for Batista, and I don't think, is I would like to see personal executions. Because I'd love to see him do like a spine buster or Batista bomb.
That would be cool.
Or even Sarah Connor and the Terminator. It would be cool if they had personalized execution animations. But I understand that's a bit more work than you need to.
Yeah. Not to sidetrack off of politicians like in Gears 5. but my wife and I were walking in the city and we walked by this store and evidently you can buy political action figures. There was this store window and they had like Barbie doll type politicians. Like you could buy like Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg and Elizabeth Warren. It's really weird.
Yes, it is very weird.
And as you know,
how many did you buy?
I did not buy any. We did not go into the store.
He's got a whole shelf at home full of them now.
I have all 20 of collected the entire debate stage.
The entire debate stage. Well, you'd have to have two different stages to kind of display
them. I display them on different nights.
Okay, there you go. just as a random tangent to end as well. I didn't even know this happened, but Jeremy Renner had his own like social media app.
Yeah, he did.
And I guess it closed down today because he found that too many people were imitating him. But I'm like, wait, you had an app? What did you do on that?
People would message him and he'd respond. That was like the whole app.
But you could do that on any social media app.
But he wanted his own app, you see.
This was specifically for Rennerites.
Yes, Rennerites. Which, I mean, I've seen the MCU. I don't know anybody who's like a Jeremy Renner fan. Who's like, oh man, Hawkeye's the best.
No, he's always kind of the guy that seems to be putting his foot in his mouth when they're doing like PR tours. People have to cover up.
It's like real Hawkeye, though.
Yeah,
because Hawkeye was a dick, and he'd always do dumb shit to get in trouble.
I remember when they were trying to groom Jeremy Renner to replace Jason Bourne.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
And then they also tried to groom him for Mission Impossible.
Yep, he is the modern day Halle Berry. Where it's like, we're going to have you take over this. No, we're not. Sorry. Because she was groomed, you know, she was supposed to be the X-Men at one point, and then she was going to take over for Bond. And yeah, And then I'm still so bad. I'm so pissed off at his Bourne movie because like it really ends on a cliffhanger.
Yeah,
like it just kind of ends. And it's like we're never getting anything else from this movie, are we?
No, because they went right back to Matt Damon.
And then that didn't work either.
No, that wasn't a good movie, though.
No, and just to kind of really kind of beat this horse, they're doing a TV show now.
A Bourne TV show.
Yeah, well, Threadstone TV show.
Oh. Is Julia Stiles in it?
I hope not. She's dead, isn't she?
Right,
I guess it could be a prequel, but... Yeah. I mean, I also find it really dumb when they kind of reveal that him and Julia Stiles were a thing before the movie started. I'm like,
Yeah, that didn't need to be.
No. What happened to her, though? Like, she was all the rage in the early 2000s, and then her career just kind of petered out?
She's on something. She's in that new, J-Lo movie that comes out this week, or next week. Hustlers.
Oh.
I thought I saw her name recently, and it was, it was when I saw the trailer for Hustlers.
Okay.
Which is about strippers that...
Yeah.
That take, I guess they like form a crime syndicate as they take advantage of these assholes.
It's gonna be fucking movie of the year.
I feel like we've done, and I don't want to be that guy. I feel like we've done a lot of women take over crime business movies over the past like 10 months between Widows, The Kitchen.
Yeah.
I liked Widows. Kitchen evidently was not
good.
I heard The Kitchen was the opposite of good.
Yes.
That's
so I heard what it has some strong heard it has some strong performances. It's just
I love what's her name?
Tiffany Haddish.
No.
Miss McCarthy. Like
no, the other one.
The other one,
Peggy from Mad Men. Elizabeth Moss.
Yes,
love her. Like, but
it was great. They named everybody. It's like, no, the
she's like her, probably the most
other one. She's probably the other most, one. I don't know her name.
She's probably the most minor character, like in the trailer. To be fair, or whatever, but. I like love the actress. So like anytime I see her in something, I'm like, oh, I want to see that. But yeah, I like the other two too. It's just yeah, I was interested in that movie. I was like, I'd go see that. And then like it came out, and like not only did it get bad reviews, like some of the bad reviews I heard were like, dude, this thing is fucking a stinker and a half. I was like, all right, well, never mind.
It's fair. Yeah, I don't really know what happened to Julia Stiles. She doesn't act a whole lot anymore.
She's in this fucking movie of the year.
Yeah, what? Right. I mean, she's making her comeback.
She's doing this. She's this is gonna her, be
she's doing best her picture. John Travolta. This is it. Hustlers is going to be the next Pulp Fiction.
It is, absolutely. It's going to be before Hustlers and after Hustlers. Like that's right. It. Like,
I'm a hush baby. Okay.
All right.
So, just to kind of just before we go, and so we don't end on that note.
Thank God.
Okay. This week, between when we finish this and next week's show, Spyro Reignited Trilogy is coming out on the Switch. Monster Hunter World Iceborne is out.
Yeah.
NBA 2K20. Gears 5, Greedfall, other games out. And then after that, we have Borderlands, Demon X Machina, NHL 20, all next Friday.
So basically Gears.
Well, no.
Well, that's what I'm hearing.
Well, I mean, I think the Spyro and the Monster Hunter World are big. I mean, I don't think we'll get Monster Hunter World. Got our issues with that. But
I mean, I'm not playing that game anymore, so.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just like it's an onslaught of like these 4 to 5 games coming out every week, and these are retail titles. These aren't counting the digital titles.
Right.
These aren't counting You know, yeah, because, you know, we had, you know, like we mentioned before, Divinity Original Sin 2 is out on the Switch right now. Deadly Premonition 1 came out today. We have all these Super Nintendo games coming out. Untitled Goose Game is coming out soon.
The Final Fantasy 8 Remake just came out.
Final Fantasy 8 Remastered just came out. Yeah, there's a lot of games to come. And then, again, this is just stuff coming out. Like, we talked about all the games that came out last week. And that was only, like, 5 days ago. So it's going to be a very busy few weeks. Yeah, like Link's Awakening, Need a Wrath, Right Witch Remasters out. Yep. Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition, Baldur's Gate 2, The Contra Rogues Corpse is out this month. Planescape Torment, The Surge, Darksiders 2 Definitive Edition, Code Vein, Dragon Quest 11, FIFA 20, Ori and the Blind Forest for the Switch. I didn't even know that was out this month. I thought that was later this year.
It's a new Tropico game.
What?
Destiny has Shadowkeep October 1st. So it's like video game after video game. The bright side is it's a dead time for movies outside of It. So,
but then it's Ad Astra and Rambo.
And Joker and Frozen and Star Wars. And then, of course, Disney TV shows Plus. Start to come back. So.
Everybody should go watch the Dark Crystal Age of Resistance.
Oh, is that good?
I really liked it.
I just started watching because I was dead and couldn't move. I started watching season 3 of Scream.
Okay, is that series good?
I enjoy it. I think Scream Queen was better.
Okay.
And I think Shasta season 1 was better, but season 2 and 3 not so much. But it's one of those things where you kind of realize that Shasta's work better as movies because you have a much tighter time frame instead of trying to spread out the story over like 13 episodes. Mm-hmm. And like the killer kills like one person per episode, and it's like all this mind game, and it's like some of it's fun. It's like the high school drama, but it's also like how much high school drama can you deal with?
Right. I liked what I saw of Scream Queens. I did not finish that first season, though. Maybe I did. I don't remember.
Like, that one leaned more into the comedy of the whole thing and how absurd it was instead of trying to play it straight.
And I need to sit down and watch that AMC series, Nosferatu, which is based on the Joe Hill book.
There's so much stuff to watch. Though, I guess, I mean, this isn't anything. At this point, I think we're just talking.
Yeah,
this is true.
I did pick my theme for my October movie marathon. Oh, so no. It is actually somewhat tied to this. It is called Fun and Games. And it is
The Career of Halle Berry. No, wait, no.
There's no fun in that. It is tied to horror movies that kind of do a game with or a contest within it. So I was doing it partially because I saw Ready or Not and enjoyed that, and Escape Room was already this year and I enjoyed that. And I'm like, can I actually make a thing out of this? And then there's stuff like the Cube series, Technically the Saw series. Which one?
I said you could. Like, I was just like, you could kind of stretch it a little bit. Like stuff like Assassination Nation is kind of like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't consider that a horror movie, I guess.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. If you stretch it a little bit, like.
But I did. I'm up to like 20 movies or so. I mean, part of it is the Saw franchise itself counts for 7 or
this
8,
is true.
I think.
There's eight now, yes.
Yeah. And then there's, you know, like, there's 3 Cube movies, I believe. There's, you know, Ready or Not, there's Escape Room, there's 2 Truth or Dare movies.
So there's another movie called Escape Room that came out last year. It is about an escape room.
Oh.
It looks low budget, but it also looked a little interesting, so I might check that out.
I mean, it's your budget. It works for me. The Balco Experiment, Definitely. Exam Circle, House on Haunted Hill. The one I'm kind of interested in, because I think it kind of counts, is Halloween Resurrection.
Yeah, it is.
It's like, So it's a reality TV show, but
game, yeah, reality TV, almost like a game show. Survive in this house.
Yeah,
there's a Hellraiser.
I wouldn't recommend doing that one. But, I mean, you could.
Yeah, I mean, I do also have to pick movies that are not great to sprinkle in there for my Friday nights.
Yeah.
But for that, I was actually going to focus on the other end of that and focus on the games. Part of it is because Doom Annihilation, the new Doom movie is coming out in early October, so I wanted to see that. And I wanted to do the animated Resident Evil movies. They're really terrible.
Yeah,
they are. Maybe House of the Dead 2. I don't think I've seen House of the Dead 2, or I forgot if I've seen the Dead 2.
Is that another Uwe Boll movie?
I don't think he does that one.
I saw the original one. He did that one.
Yes. The original one I enjoy, I guess, is the word.
That is a word. not a word I think I've ever heard anybody use to describe that, Earl, but sure.
I think part of it is just because I enjoy how dumb it is at times. Like, again, I love the fact that they actually use video game footage for some of the action scenes.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that there's, like, that one scene where they're just kind of spinning around all the characters for, like, no reason whatsoever. And then there's, like, the whole part of it is they go to this island infested by zombies, but they're throwing, like, this big batch out the beach, and it's, like, a giant Sega banner there because, like, if I go to a spring break party, Sega's the one I want sponsoring it.
Yeah. I mean, they know how to rave.
They know how to rave. They know how to ruin a good thing, that's for sure. Look at you, Sonic. But yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And maybe I will check out The Blair Witch.
The game?
Yes. That's part of my...
Oh, it's part of your horror themed month.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to play The Evil Within 2.
So. I think I want to play Luigi's Mansion 3.
That doesn't come out until literally Halloween.
Yeah, like if you're gonna play through it, you just get that. All you're gonna do on Halloween, play that, throw candy at kids as they come by. Get away! I'm playing.
I mean,
Luigi's Mansion.
You can watch. I'm going to watch Halloween 3, of course, on Halloween, like you do.
Do you still get trick-or-treaters?
I don't get that many. I bought a lot of candy last year, and I ate most of it.
Yeah, it's the one terrible thing about Halloween. It's the day after all my coworkers come in with all the extra candy. Because they don't want their kids to have it. So it's like, yeah, give it to the adults. Because we know self-control.
Right.
Yeah. Last year was my first like year getting to like, you know, I owned a house while it was Halloween and very disappointed, man. Like there's like maybe five groups of kids that, like total. I was like, what the fuck was that? Like they don't trick or treat anymore? I guess
no, not. I mean it's a thing that a lot of parents just started to do. Because, I mean, in my area, for instance, like, nobody comes to our place anymore. A lot of them just go to stores, or they go to, like, pre-designated, apartment buildings or complexes.
Yeah, or they do, like, a trunk or treat at the local school or the church.
Instead I hate that. I mean, I had that, too, when I was a kid, but that was, like, a secondary thing that was nowhere near the main attraction. Like, it was about fucking... going up and down those streets and getting all the fucking shit.
We still get kids here. Like, my neighbors, like, we go out and we'll just, like, drink a few beers for, like, a couple hours while the kids are walking up and down.
Sit there like a scarecrow and scare the shit out of them as they walk up. Like,
I mean, if you want to fly to Philly and do that, Jeff, you're...
Well, you said you guys are sitting out there drinking beers and stuff. You're not trying to scare the kids?
No. I mean, like, I guess they have a St. Bernard, kind of looks like Cujo. So that's slightly scary.
That's scary enough, even though,
like, Rosie's super sweet, but she is a big dog. So anyway, Tony, your kids go out trick-or-treating?
Yeah, it's actually my older child's favorite day of the year.
He likes
to go into people's houses and try to pet their dog.
That's cat. Cool. Yeah. So we will be back next week with all those games that are all mentioned. Well, at least the ones that come out. So Gears.
I mean, yeah, I was about to say we're all going to be talking about Gears.
Right? Gears. We'll love Gears.
It's all. We can pretend that other games are coming out, and we can pretend we're going to play this stuff.
Right.
But we're all doing Gears, right?
Exactly.
It's going to be a Gears cast next week.
Come back next week to hear us talk about Gears and probably just Gears. But there might be some news somewhere in there. Who knows?
Maybe news about Gears.
Yeah.
New characters for Gears. Yep.
Like maybe Link shows up in Gears. That would be cool.
You never know. I mean, Nintendo and Microsoft are real chummy now. Like, that was one of my favorite parts of the Direct today, is they had a pre-thing with a posting with Sakurai talking about Banjo-Kazooie. And he literally had to promote that their game's on the Xbox. And he's like, I know this is a Nintendo presentation, but please go play those games on the Xbox. So...
That's funny. Oh, all right. Well, we'll be back to talk about the games on the Xbox next week, or the game on the Xbox next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.